listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined by Raymond Stock, as promised, one of the country's preeminent experts on matters involving Egypt, a country he lived in for many years. Today he is the Shulman Ginsberg Writing Fellow at the Middle East Forum. He is the author, among other things, of a paper at the Foreign Policy Research Institute entitled The Mysterious New Pharaoh in Egypt. Raymond Stock is also the author of a forthcoming biography of preeminent Egyptian writer Naguib Mahfouz. Raymond, welcome back. I think this is our first visit of the new year, so Happy New Year to you. Welcome back.
Happy New Year to you too, thanks, and thanks for having me again.
Let us jump right into it. Raymond Stock, what is the state of play at the moment in Egyptian politics? There is a new constitution that apparently has been adopted. A lot of people didn't vote for it, didn't vote at all, for that matter. What is its status in your estimation, and what are its contents, specifically with respect to Sharia? Is it an improvement over the past constitution, particularly the Muslim Brotherhood's?
It isn't very much an improvement over the previous constitution in that it removes the requirement that al-Azhar interpret Sharia, that the laws be interpreted according to Sharia, in fact, by an Islamic or agency, by a group of scholars. Previously, under the previous constitutions, the laws were interpreted in terms of Sharia by the state, which, of course, had its own nebulous view of Islam and Islamism, or Islam, I should say, not Islamism. And they proceeded, according to the political exigencies of the time, how they would interpret the law. Now it goes back more or less to that status quo ante. I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood had put through a constitution that allowed scholars to determine whether or not any law met Sharia standards, and that very dangerous precedent.
And that is now over the side, I take it?
That's gone. Yeah, no, Islam is still the religion of the state, and that's going to remain because the majority of Sharia is Islamic, and that's what they would want.
We're visiting with Raymond Stock, one of the country's preeminent scholars, observers, commentators upon what's happening in Egypt, based on long experience with the country. He is now with the Middle East Forum. Raymond, we're very intrigued by this character, General, I guess now Field Marshal Sisi. Tell us a little bit about him. He came to power as the head of the general staff under the previous Muslim Brotherhood government, and yet he's basically putting them down, having deposed them. What does an al-Sisi presidency look like in your judgment, and is it likely to happen?
Well, he's a changing man, obviously, because he seemed to change from the time he was appointed to some degree by Morsi to what he is now, running the country, not as an Islamist. Whether he runs for president or not, and I think he probably will, but we can't be sure, he certainly won't run as an Islamist. But he allowed Morsi to believe he was an Islamist, and he wrote like an Islamist in his 2006 U.S. Army War College mini-thesis. So we don't really know for sure where he's going to go. It really depends in some ways on how the West treats him, I think, because he certainly will not propose as an Islamist now, whether he is one or not in any way.
Do you think he is, in fact? And were he to become president, would the government of Egypt wind up being rather more Islamist than not?
I think if you were president, you have to watch the relationship he has with the Nuer Party. The Nuer Party is the only significant Islamist party that supported the overthrow of Morsi, but also because they think that he brought discredit to Islamism by the way he governed. They think that he was so reckless in his governance that he damaged their cause.
But al-Sisi may be sympathetic to the al-Nuer Party's rather, stringent adherence to Sharia?
Well, I think that he may be very sympathetic to them. One of his daughters wears a niqab. Possibly his wife does. I'm not sure. The full face and body covering. And we don't really know he's still somewhat mysterious in this sense, but look at the way he's governed since he took over on July 3rd, and basically not Islamist.
And actually secular in his direction, or something in between?
Well, he appointed a body of technocrats, you know, of experts, essentially, to run the government, who were not Islamists at all, in the interim, in the transition.
Right. But let me ask you about what's happening in the backdrop of all of this. And again, you're following this closely, Raymond Stock, I know, at the Middle East Forum. There is an active effort underway by LCC's government to suppress the Muslim Brotherhood. They've defined them as a terrorist organization. They've banned them. And yet there's violence breaking out, not just in the Sinai, which is apparently becoming a pretty lawless zone, but actually in parts of Cairo and elsewhere in Mother Egypt. What is happening with regard to the Brotherhood, and where do you think this is likely to lead?
Well, I think the campaign of violence, while it's having a certain intended effect, which is to unsettle the country and to remind everyone that they're still around, the Islamists are still around, the opposition Islamists are still around. But also, it's driving people back against the Muslim Brotherhood and the other Islamists. It's making them hate the majority, which does in fact resent them and resented the way that Morsi ran the country. They're even more incensed than ever. For example, the most recent bombings, there were four bombings in Cairo. And the biggest one of these was in Bab al-Khalq, which is between downtown, or sort of in part of downtown, but also connected to Islamic Cairo. And it is a very historic square. There's a prison named Bab al-Khalq, which is where a lot of people have gone. People have experience in that prison, a lot of Egyptians. But mainly, it's the big police headquarters, the state security headquarters. And the Islamic Art Museum is there, recently renovated for a lot of money, as well as the recently renovated National Archives, National Library and Archives. And they were all damaged very severely. The facades of all of them were blown off. The collections inside the Islamic Museum of Art were really severely damaged. Not really sure how much.
Who was behind these bombings, would you say?
Well, a group called Ansar Beit al-Maqdis, or Champions or Supporters of Jerusalem, they're the ones who have claimed responsibility for this. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood's, the government has accused the Muslim Brotherhood's the Muslim Brotherhood itself, actually organizing Ansar Beit al-Maqdis, or having a hand in its creation and coordinating with it. And maybe that it's even serving as a surrogate for the Brotherhood. And they have arrested, I think, one of Morsi's nephews, accusing him of being the instigator of at least one of the previous bombings. So
they're holding the Muslim Brotherhood responsible directly or indirectly, and the pressure will continue to be applied to them, I suppose, and we'll continue to see the Muslim Brotherhood acting out in a violent fashion. Raymond Stock, I'm afraid we have to leave it at that. Thank you. There's so much more to talk about. I trust and hope that we will have an opportunity to do so often in 2014 as developments in this tremendously strategically important country continue to unfold. We appreciate your expertise in the matter and your contributions to our understanding of it all. We'll be talking with Andy McCarthy next about the State of the Union, in particular the increasing autocratic behavior of our own president, right after this.
To SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.